child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for
an hey, hockey fans, welcome back to another edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. I'm Mike Hammett. My panel of experts, I guess you could call them, both the Berg boys and Michael Trasher Terzinski, all present tonight. Dell Scanlon off on assignment in Nevada, of all places. So we'll hear from Dell next week. But let's get things started, guys. Let's talk about our Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Games of the Week. Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine provides cutting-edge personalized sports performance and injury prevention programs, training with world-class experts, state-of-the-art facilities, and technology. As we do, ladies first. Michael, you got to cover those Wiley Point Rapids Red Panthers. They took on the Northern Edge. What do you got?
Thanks, MJ. Yes, I did. I went to the Southwood County Rec Center in my hometown of Whiskey Rapids and saw Northern Edge come to play the Point Rapids Marshfield Red Panthers. Red Panthers got off to the 2-0 lead in the first period, added another goal in the second to go up 3-0 and heading into the third period before the Edge, Courtney Carrico, put one in midway through the period to cut the lead to 3-2. But the rest of the game was all Red Panthers as they scored three goals in a span of 4.5 minutes mid to the late third period for the 6-1 win. Leah Gruen and Megan Nolan each scored two for Point Rapids. Shots in that game were 53-10. Red Panthers outshot the Edge. Northern Edge kind of rebuilding their program a little bit. They have a couple of players that have been there for, 4 years, seniors, but they miss players like Lauren Smith, who was an All-State defenseman. They miss Katie Dietert. She was an All-State player. That's, you lose players like that, it's tough to make up for them. But they're out there playing hard, and they got some young players, some freshmen. And I think they'll be okay again. But on this particular evening, Point Rapids was 5 better, 6-1. MJ, back to you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Michael. I had the honor of watching the Beloit Memorial Knights taking on the Kenosha Thunder back last Tuesday night in Beloit. Before the game, Beloit's head coach, Kurt Bukes, told me that the importance of this game was huge. For Section 7 seedings, he pointed out that their loss to one of the other teams out of the Classic 8 Conference has made things where this was a must-win game for seeding when it comes to matching up with Kenosha in the seeding meetings, which are coming up in a couple weeks. And Beloit used that as motivation, scored four goals in the first period. They never looked back, 8-1 victory over Kenosha. And team responded really quick. Brady Wright scored the first goal. Noah Davis came and got another one. Kenosha got called for a check from behind, giving Beloit a 5-minute power play, which they were able to tally once. Tyler Jensen clanked in a shot from the right circle. Kenosha made it a 3-1 game, but just at the end of the period, Nate Poglaze, who scored two goals in that game from the defensive standpoint, he went through traffic, got a shot off, using the defender to screen to give the Knights a 4-1 lead after one, and they pretty much cruised from there, scoring four more times in the second and third period combined, and they beat Kenosha in that game. Final score was 8-1. Kenosha ran two goalies out there that night, 43 saves between the two, while Beloit goalie Taven Santucci finished with 21 saves. And guys, you already have teams that are already looking back at what they've done earlier in the year and seeing possibly on how things could match up with a sectional, where you could end up seated at in your sectional. So it's getting to be that time of year, and teams starting to look at that stuff and seeing the importance of games. And guys, this was one of those games.
Well, I guess if the coaches have already started talking about it, then it's not too early for us to start talking about sectionals. I mean, we really haven't discussed that much on these weekly podcasts. But Yeah, it is. It is getting crunch time. I was just looking as you were mentioning. I looked at the Antigo squad, and they're all done with Section 5. Of course, Antigo new to Section 5 this year because they had the temerity to beat Wausau West and deny them a trip to the state tournament last year. So they got kicked out of Section 3, and now they're over in Section 5. But they're all done and. They kind of had a mixed bag over there in Section 5.
Well, even when I was talking to Kurt about this, he said even the players, they follow what goes on, what we have on the site. And, they know who's in what sectional, and they know what's going on. And some of the guys are starting to look back and say, you know what, we didn't win that game. That's what's going to make this one really, really important. And they seem to answer the bell on that night, which happened to be one of our games of the week, Kenosha and Beloit. And Beloit gets an 8-1 win in that one. And we'll see the importance of that when it comes down to sectional seeding time.
Well, yeah, and just to continue on that seeding thing, I happen to be golfing this summer and broke the news to Coach Borneman that they got moved to Section 5, and he was initially upset because all the additional travel. Antigo is by far the furthest north and the furthest west of any team in Section 5, so we'll just look at all the travel we have to do. And I says, well, no, just be one of the top two seeds and you just stay at home. But I don't think that's going to happen. They lost to Nina, Horton, Vilmanasha, and they lost to Notre Dame. They beat Bayport and Fond du Lac Springs, but, yeah, I don't think they're going to get a top two seed in there. So they're going to have to do some traveling.
Okay, that's a look at our Games of the Week brought to you by the Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Center. Our Games of the Week being brought to us by them. Now it's time for our Radisson-Madison Players of the Week. The Radisson of Madison is Madison's premier Westside Hotel and the official state tournament home of WIPH, also known as Wisconsin Prep Hockey. And I'm going to let Bill do all the talking again because he likes to do that, and he's going to give us our two Players of the Week. Mr. Burglar?
Well, and before you, I'll just remember, send all your hate mail to Trasher at WisconsinPrepHockey.net. When you accuse us of, our normal goalie bias, just because Trasher and I both, we're goalie parents. That obviously points out that this week our players of the week are both goalies. On the boys' side, Frank Fee, goaltender for the University School of Milwaukee Wildcats. 26 saves in a 5-0 win, so a 26-save shutout, 5-0 win over Marquette, and a 28-save shutout for a 4-0 win over Fond du Lac St. Mary's Springs. So two shutouts. Quick math says that's 54 saves out of 54 shots for Frank Fee, our Madison Radisson Boys Player of the Week. On the girls' side, Lauren Tremblay, goaltender for Hayward. She had 20 saves and a 20-save shutout in a 3-0 win over Duluth Marshall, then an 18-save shutout in a 7-0 win versus North Shore. These are a couple of Minnesota teams at Ms. Tremblay has had 5 straight shutouts. So that's a lot of shots and no goals in 5 games for Lauren Tremblay, goaltender for Hayward, our girls' Radisson-Madison Player of the Week. And back to you, MJ.
Well, this was one of those happy weeks where Wisconsin Prep Hockey staff didn't have to nominate anybody. We like it when Wisconsin Prep Hockey staff doesn't have to nominate anybody. We had coach nominations on the boys' side and the girls' side. We had parent and fan nominations. Lots of nominations this week, and that's a good thing. So keep them coming. We prefer not doing it ourselves.
Yes, and we actually had a lively debate over these nominations because there were several deserving candidates. You know, on another week, could have been two or three of these nominees this week, may have won on a different week, but this particular week, these were your winners.
How do you argue the numbers? Those, you know, for both those goalies, those are pretty incredible numbers. It's a pretty good run, especially for Lauren Tremblay. 5 straight shutouts.
Well, I think
it's crazy.
I think that's what pushed her over the top, because long-time listeners will know that a 20-save shutout and an 18-save shutout sometimes isn't enough to get you Player of the Week. 38 saves with no goals is a good week. They won 2 games. She didn't allow any goals. I think it's probably the 5 in a row that pushed her over the top.
Yeah, Junior, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, we didn't get many girl nominees, but, boy, hers, I think, would have won over a lot of them. So we'll take that one. And boys' nominees, my goodness, we had a ton of them. But Frank V, his week was one that was pretty good as well against pretty good competition. So Frank V was the winner of the boys' Radisson Madison Player of the Week. It's top 10 time. A little bit of elbowing and pushing and shoving around, and the dust has settled. Junior's counted it up on his toes, fingers, his abacus, whatever else he uses, and he's tabulated it all. There was no Russian hacking of this. So, Junior, go ahead and give us our Players of the Week, boys and girls.
No, there's no hacking. The top one, the top spot on the boys' side, the tie is broken. Wausau West does now have sole possession of the number one spot, with Hudson a narrow second. Arrowhead is third. Eau Claire Memorial and Waukesha are fourth and fifth. Stevens Point and Chippewa Falls are sixth and seventh. Appleton United, Nina Menasha Hortonville, and Notre Dame Academy round out the top 10. Honorable mention for the boys are Anago, Fox City's Homestead Superior, and University School. Superior coming back into the top 15 area. On the girls, Central Wisconsin Storm is still number one, and I imagine they will be until somebody in Wisconsin actually beats them. Bay Area is second, Hudson's third, Hayward is fourth, Eau Claire Altoona is fifth, Fond du Lac is sixth, St. Croix Valley is seventh, USM, Metrolinx, and Rock County round out the top 10 for the girls. And we did add a new ranking to the website this last week. If you go to the top 10 page for the boys, in the past, we've had the top 10 and 4 computer rankings, the U.S. High School Hockey Online Power Rankings, the Stack Rankings, the LSQ Rankings, and the My Hockey Rankings. That's a website. We've added a composite ranking that takes the top 10 and those 4 computer rankings, puts them all together, and spits out a composite top 15 based on all the rankings, which is probably, if you're looking for accuracy, probably the best ranking that we have. In terms of accuracy, bias, canceling all that stuff out. So there is now a composite ranking on the top 10 page as well.
And we're making a point of not calling that the BCS rankings?
Well, we could call it the BCS if we want. It just can't determine who plays in the championship game.
Yeah. I mean, we should probably then just drop the C.
Yes.
I would agree with that.
We'll call it the BS rankings.
The BS rankings, yes.
Yes, but yeah, we have Jeff Rochon to thank for that.
Yes, Jeff Rochon, the statistician at Arrowhead who puts together the Stack rankings. It's Arrowhead, right?
Yes.
Okay, I get Arrowhead and Homestead confused every now and then. At Arrowhead puts together the Stack rankings. He compiled the composite ranking for us from the other ones.
Yeah, and just for those who aren't at their computer right now, they're actually quite similar to the coaches' top 10 ranking. Wausau West, number one, followed by Hudson, then Arrowhead, Stevens Point. Fox City's up at number 5, Eau Claire Memorial at 6, then Waukesha, Nina Hortonville, Menasha University School, and Eau Claire North in the top 10 at number 10, then Chippewa Falls, Anago Superior, West Salem, and Notre Dame. So interesting compiling, putting all those things together.
And obviously that one was compiled last week, so that'll be updated for everything that happened this weekend. Obviously West Salem is no longer undefeated, so we'll see how that moves them around.
Who knows, maybe Baldwin Woodville will Well, but then they lost to New Richmond, didn't they? Was it New Richmond?
Somerset.
Somerset. Oh, Somerset.
New Richmond was the week before, and then Somerset this week.
Well, so they lost twice. Okay.
Well, they can blame the Wisconsin State Journal for that.
There's some sort of Wisconsin State Journal jinx, no?
Well, when they do a game write-up and they point out that a team is not ranked in the coaches' poll, they're just asking for something to happen to that team.
And it did.
It did.
Do you think teams would probably want to just ride under the radar a little bit?
I think so.
I think teams like getting recognition.
I think they like getting recognition. I think they look at this stuff. And you guys were talking about sectionals earlier. I think the coaches want to know where they are on the computer rankings because they will take anything and everything they can into that meeting to try and get home ice.
I would agree with that. You know, as you guys were talking about Superior making an appearance back in the polls, making an honorable mention, and Eau Claire North fell all the way out. And I was looking at that game here on the box scores, and it's pretty interesting that in that game, North, who was a top 10 team, against Superior, who wasn't in the top 10. And in that game, Eau Claire North got 19 shots on goal, and Caden Welch must have played pretty well because he stopped all 19. But Superior in that game got 35 shots. 35 to 19, your chances are usually pretty good. They scored three, and they got a win over Eau Claire North. Probably a big win for Superior if you think about it. Obviously, I don't see them on a weekly basis, but against Wisconsin teams, that may have been one that middle of the season you look back and say, you know what, maybe this was our turning point.
Well, and Eau Claire North is in an interesting position because you wouldn't have said that 2 years ago. 2 years ago, the team beating Eau Claire North would not have been remarkable in any way. But it is now. I think they went to the sectional final against Memorial last year. Them and Chippewa Falls are probably the 2 and 3 seeds in that sectional right now. And Eau Claire North is having a really nice season. The problem with them is going to be the same problem that Anago had the last couple of years, was getting over that last hump against a top-ranked team. Anago was having real trouble with Wausau West the last several years. And if you look at their schedule, Eau Claire North is doing really well against everybody, but then they ran into Hudson and lost 6-1. Their game against Eau Claire Memorial was closer at 4-3, but then, you know, they lost the 3-2 to Chippewa Falls and then 3-0 to Superior. So Eau Claire North's real task now is going to be to translate that great play that they have against the unranked teams into beating one of the ranked teams.
And if they do somehow beat Eau Claire Memorial, you know, to represent Section 2 at the state tournament are next year, are they going to? It's going to be hard to kick Eau Claire North out of Section 2 and into Section 1.
You know, it will be. They'll have to get by Chippewa Falls to get to Eau Claire Memorial in the first place.
Okay.
Well,
unless,
I don't know.
Right now,
it would be easier to kick Chippewa Falls out. They are in a different school district.
Yes. And Chippewa Falls might actually be the one seed in that sectional right now, having already beaten Eau Claire Memorial.
But they do have another matchup coming up. In fact, probably can tell you where it's at.
I don't know. Does Coach Schwengler have as much clout as Coach Brandt has? He should have more.
Schwengler does. He's got clout.
He can get Chippewa Falls moved into Section 1 if they beat him.
He'll get him moved into Section 3.
January 24th.
Oh, that would be devious, wouldn't it?
Week from Tuesday. They're at Eau Claire Memorial. Should be a pretty good game. A lot on the line there, I would bet. That would be safe to say.
Yeah, Chippewa Falls has a four-game stretch coming up. At Anago, at Eau Claire Memorial, at Hudson, and then at home against Hudson. The 24th, 26th, 27th, and 28th. That's a brutal stretch of four games in 5 days.
Yeah, I think their team captain said he thinks they can run the table.
This is number 12.
I think he is number 12, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's, I think that's what you're going to see with that team. You may see that as being, you know, contenders or, you know, just another team. But I think that that's going to be a tough schedule for them, those four games. But, you know, we'll see. Funny things happen along the way. Our upcoming Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Games of the Week. Friday, Antigo is hosting Somerset. Burglar will be making probably, what, three block walk over there to watch the game?
The it's five.
Five?
Okay. It's five, and I have to cross Highway 45 on a busy Friday traffic. All those people dragging their snowmobiles north because all the snow down south of here is going to be a mix of ice and crap. So they'll all be heading north. So I don't have to dodge those snowmobiles to get across Highway 45. But I will get to the multi-purpose building, which we like to refer to as the Lang Lake County Ice Arena during the winter, because that is its only purpose. It serves no other purpose in the winter. But we'll go up there and we'll watch Somerset, who's been having a lot of interesting games, but somehow hasn't gotten mentioned in the top 10 at all. We'll see. We'll see if they're for real. Get to watch them play against Antigo.
Antigo. Antigo.
We come to a full stop, or Antigo. But I'll be up there Friday checking out that game. Haven't been up there in a while. Coach Bornman probably thinks I gave up on them, but I didn't. I just been busy, you know, new job, all that kind of stuff. So I'll get up there.
So what do they do there during the summer at the Lang Lake County? Is it rec center, you said?
Multi-purpose.
It's on the fairgrounds, so they do you know, all the stuff that you do on a large steel pole building on a fairgrounds.
Gun shows.
Gun shows.
Little old lady craft shows.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, that game will be coming up on Friday. Burglar will have pictures and story all about that one. And on Friday night, I will be up at Cap Ice as the Metrolinx hosts the Rock County Fury in round two of that Badger Conference matchup. That first time it ended up in a tie. And this time, though, this one's got a lot of meaning as well, especially with sectional seating as well in that one. Hey guys, where's Trasher been? Is he reading all his hate mail?
Trasher's right here. I just
had
to put
quiet during the whole thing.
I just had to do my Fred Flintstone imitation and put my cat outside.
Thanks. I was kind of thinking he would have chirped in a little bit when we were talking about the different sectional stuff, but it was like nothing.
Yeah, I'm also working on the top 10, trying to mold it to my liking instead of the one that Junior gave me, trying to get the Red Panthers up in the top 10.
It was a decisive win over the edge.
Maybe you should have voted for them.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you know,
these ballots are secret.
What was surprising about that particular night is that we chose that game because we're hard-pressed to find another game that we were able to get to. And as you know, we like to go to these game of the weeks. That's kind of like a little process procedure. That's something that we like to follow. And but the surprising thing to me was the fact that 15, 20 miles up the road, there was another game played. This was a boys' game, and the spread in the game score was exactly the same, 5. I would have never guessed that. But that's neither there nor here nor there.
Which game are you talking about?
Spashen Wausau West. No, Spashen West.
Oh, a different direction.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of surprised to see that as well. A 5-goal spread.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean,
what was surprising about that one to me wasn't the shot differential. I mean, West outshot Spashen that game 41-19, but West has been doing that all season. What was surprising in that one to me is that West actually put the damn puck in the net.
That has been a bugaboo for them. They get lots of shots. Lots and lots of shots. Not many of them go in.
Hey, guys, two teams that don't get a whole lot of run here from us combined for 19 goals the other night, and that was Sparta and Monroe, a 12-7 game that Monroe won.
I believe that was their first win of the season.
I think so. And can you imagine the GAA and the save percentage for those goalies? Wow. Took a hit.
It's kind of hard to imagine the shots were 120 to 70.
That would get you to your 90%.
Yeah.
Wow. But the 19 times they had to dig the puck out of the back of the net.
You know, I played a game against Stevens Point like that back in my youth days, but I think all 19 were behind me.
I'm sure your coach is very understanding.
Oh, I'm sure.
So your teammates tell you, come on, you're going to stop something?
You know what? My teammates were never, like, bad when we got blown out like that. Like, we had kind of expected to lose to Stevens Point, which was never a good way to go into a game. They were only ever, like, jerks about it. Well, like, we lost a 1-0 game to Ashland once. And I'm still mad because one of the players looked at me like, that was your fault. Like, well, you didn't score.
You give up one. Yeah, well.
But, you know.
Got to score to win.
My life was not as a goalie.
No, but no,
you were much better as a defenseman.
So how was he as a defenseman? Was he a playmaking defenseman? Was he a defenseman, a stay-at-home defenseman, or a defensive defenseman, or whatever they want to classify him as? What was Junior?
I was always a good passer, but I was mostly a stay-at-home defenseman.
He was a stay-at-home defenseman that moved the puck well, and the only thing he was missing from the stay-at-home defenseman part was that he didn't like to break rules or get, you know, like penalty. You know, he didn't get nasty in front of the net, which, you know.
I had an aversion to spending time in the box.
Ah.
Now, some people might say that's because we tended to get scored on if I wasn't on the ice. But that's a lie. I mean, we did tend to get scored on if I wasn't on the ice. But I just didn't like taking penalties. I'm not mean.
So you didn't ever slash anybody or roughing or...
I would be fairly confident in saying...
Or knock them on their ass for running into the goalie.
I didn't like the goalie. Oh, yeah. I didn't much care for the goalie.
He was kind of an ass.
But you know what? I'm fairly confident saying I've probably never taken a slashing penalty.
Nobody gets you mad enough?
No. You don't hit people with your stick. That's lazy.
Okay, if you didn't hit them with your stick, what'd you hit them with?
Usually nothing. I told you, I'm too nice to be a defenseman.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
He was a finesse player.
Finesse player? Here, yeah. Go right around.
The one time in my life I went end-to-end and scored a goal, I actually fell down on the shot, untouched. Fell down, but whatever.
Hey, the puck was in the back of the net. That's all that matters. Oh, my goodness. Well, since Michael doesn't really have anything else to add to this whole conversation tonight.
He seems distracted.
Yeah, it was kind of...
Yeah, I got my top 10 done now, so now I can talk.
Okay.
What do you want?
We're about ready to wrap up.
You are ready to wrap it up.
We've talked about all kinds of stupid stuff.
I found the proper analogy to explain me as a defenseman to MJ.
Okay.
Okay, MJ, imagine you're slightly above average high school pitcher in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Now make him a defenseman. That was me.
Because you were a slightly above average pitcher in high school.
I was.
See?
That's how I played defense.
But he was a soft defenseman.
You have that.
He was, Junior, were you more of a pylon than anything?
No.
You didn't beat up on anybody.
He was a good skater. Very good skater.
I was a good skater, and I learned that 90% of playing defense is just being where you're supposed to be. You know, I didn't beat the guy up in front of the net, but I was always between him and the goalie. He didn't get his stick on the puck. the puck changed sides of the ice, I was always where I was supposed to be. If a guy was coming down on like a one-on-one, you take the puck or the body, you don't pick one. So either one of them got past me, but it was never both. You know, I knew what I was doing. I just didn't, you know, line guys up and take them out.
Who was your best coach?
Well, you know, there's one on this call, but he was a jerk. I think the coach that I liked playing for the most was probably Ken Kubacki. Over the years on this podcast, we've talked about various Kubackis playing for Anago. I believe those would be his grandkids. But I played for Ken as a squirt, and I want to say I played for him again as a bantam, but I don't remember if that's accurate.
Oh, well. We should have Ken on next week, and he can comment.
That would be funny, because Ken would say, oh, he's an awful defenseman. He couldn't do anything right. Couldn't hit the first pass.
I had to yell at him every time.
I think you Ken was your coach as a squirt, and then when you were a bantam, I think his kids, Chris and Kevin, were the coaches.
Yes. Well, he was on the bench, but, yeah, they did most of the work.
Oh, okay.
Well, I guess the next thing to ask is, how was Dad as a coach to you? Did he play favorites for you?
That was before the epiphany that occurred after baseball a few years later.
Okay.
We won't get into that.
We won't get into that. You need my mother here, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah, oh. Bob would have to be on too. I mean, we won't go there. Okay. Not on this call. We should probably just take this home.
Okay. We'll go ahead and take it home. Find some good theme music for us, Junior, or Bill Burglar, whichever one of you finds it. So get us some good theme music, and that's it for this show, as it was going out of control quickly, as just like the icy roads here in southern Wisconsin. So for the Berg boys, Trasher, Dell, who's living it up in Nevada, I'm Mike Hammett. We'll see you next week on This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey.